Welcome back to the program. On the joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is Brad Evans of YahooSports.com. He is the fantasy football expert there. You can follow him on Twitter at Yahoo Noise. Brad Evans, how are you, sir?
Hola, amigos. Happy Football Thursday.
Yeah, happy Football Thursday and happy Tequila Thursday as well, my friend.
Well, you're going to need a lot of the Mexican love juice to watch Blaine Gabbert throw misfires all over the place. And who's going to be quarterbacking for Dallas? God. It's like Stephen Jones? Like, why are they even playing this game?
That was going to be my first question to you. I'm like, can you really tell anything fantasy-wise from watching these preseason games other than, okay, it looks like maybe David Johnson has a little bit of a gimp in his knee. Maybe I'm not going to draft him with the first one. Maybe I'll take him with the second one. Can you really tell anything?
Well, not this game in particular. And really, you're not going to be able to tell a whole lot in the first week of the preseason. But I think week two and three in the preseason, even though the teams are all vanilla, nobody's really, game planning or anything like that, they do hold some merit, some value. I mean, there's always a couple of players that, pop off the screen. They look at them, you're like, wow, this guy is exceeding my expectations in this one particular game. Maybe he gets an opportunity, like we saw with Victor Cruz a number of years ago, as a prime example. Even Melvin Gordon, to a certain extent last year, that just had a little bit more sizzle in those situations. They get thrust into a high-volume situation. Maybe they can take advantage. But, yeah, I don't think the preseason is at all meaningless. I think it's meaningful, but not the Hall of Fame game.
Who is number one on the Brad Evans big board going into the 2017 season? Is it Bell? Is it David Johnson? Is it Antonio Brown? Who is it?
For me, it's David Johnson. I had the pleasure of interviewing David at Tony Romo's fantasy football event in Dallas a couple of weeks ago. And unprompted, I was going to try to get him to give me a fearless forecast. Statistically, what he was going to do for the season. Unprompted, he goes, I'm going to be 1,000 running back.
Nice.
And, you put that together, you look at the history of the NFL, only two other players have done it, and one being Marshall Faulk, and the other one, and this is great for bar trivia, Roger Craig.
Oh, yeah.
The San Francisco 49ers. A lot of people forget that. So, DJ, for me, he's the centerpiece of this offense behind a plus offensive line. I know Carson Palmer is older than dirt, but still, DJ is going to get upwards of probably 27, 28 touches per game this season. Bruce Arians even throwing it out there. He might get as many as 30 totes. Per game. I think that's a little extreme, but he's a do-it-all, multi-dimensional back, and it's really a rare breed in the NFL today. So for me, it goes David Johnson, followed by Le'Veon Bell at number two, and then number three is murky, because we just don't know the situation with Zeke Elliott and how many games, if any, he's going to be suspended for.
Speaking of the Cardinals, I think there's two of the better bounce-back candidates. If you look overall, get a wide scope of some of the articles out there. Carson Palmer, obviously just mentioned, aging, had a terrible year last year, but with the team he has, people wonder about that. And one of the guys he's throwing to, very disappointing year last year, John Brown, the wide receiver. How are you ranking these two going into this season?
Well, John Brown, I'm cool on. He is kind of a love child of the fantasy community. People are just slobbering all over this guy right now. And I don't really understand it, to be honest with you. Is he splashy? Is he fancy? Yeah, he can be, but he's an undersized wide receiver who's right now dealing with a quad issue. And he wasn't healthy last year, dealing with myriad setbacks. And again, you got a quarterback on the wrong side of 30. Your backup there currently is Drew Stanton with Blaine Gabbert also in the mix. I'm not certain that Carson Palmer is going to survive the season over even 13 games, so that's a downside. So, John Brown, to me, a lot of people drafting him, feeling very confident he's a wide receiver three. For me, he's more or less bench fodder and nothing more. Now, Larry Fitzgerald, he's an old-time watch, right? He takes a lick and it keeps on ticking, and a guy's got back-to-back 100-plus reception campaigns. I think there's still plenty of gas left in the tank. Again, it's all going to be tied to Carson Palmer and his value, but you know what this does? A lot of that dirty work underneath in traffic on some of those slants and crossing routes across the middle. And a guy that's going to get you probably, at a minimum, I'd say 6 to 8 touchdowns. So for me, Fitzgerald, disrespected right now in terms of average draft position, a player, in many cases, you're getting at a wide receiver 3 price. In fact, right around pick number 49 overall is where he's going. That's wide receiver 26. He's easily going to turn out a wide receiver 2 value in the end. So a nice discounted option that deserves a little bit more respect.
Speaking of Brown, why people love him, I think it's just that the fantasy community, when they find that fifth-round guy who blows up his rookie year They can't get rid of those special sleepers even 3 or 4 years down the road. I that's got to be the connection. I remember, you know, even when Maurice Jones-Drew started falling off, I was a guy who had him since his rookie year, and I couldn't give it up because he was a nice little find.
Oh, there's a pet players that we all have. Like, I've got so many man crushes. I mean, guys, I'm a little bit promiscuous when it comes to fantasy football.
That's the perfect way to describe it.
It's like Ryan Matthews.
That's
a guy I can never quit. I go back to that well time and time again. And you know what? I'm going back to that Keenan Allen well again this year also. I know his knees are held together by a wad of bubblicious and some bailing line, but, you know, this is a guy that, when healthy, you know, if I could get 13 games out of him, he's going to get you probably 7 to 9 receptions per game at a high-powered Chargers offense. I think it's going to be maybe top 5 in the league this year.
Well, bad news. The Chargers are already at 2 long-term injuries in training camp, and we're into day 3, so we'll see if Keenan Allen can avoid that Murphy's Law that has descended upon the Chargers for the last 3 or 4 years.
He can't catch a break. I mean, I'm not trying to make a pun.
He can't. Every offensive lineman gets hurt.
Yeah, Keenan Allen's going to get hit by an asteroid at any minute now. I'm telling you guys.
Someone last year in the second half of the season was a pretty big fantasy stud. I'm not sure how he's going to do this year, and that's Jay Ajayi, the running back for the Miami Dolphins. What kind of season do you think he could possibly have?
Well, obviously the Dolphins dodged a major bullet today with positive news on Ryan Tannehill's knee. You know, structurally it's sound, so it sounds like if he's going to miss any time, it might be, you know, just a couple of weeks and not months in that scenario. And I'm still fine with Matt Moore as the backup. I think Matt Moore is a very underrated, underappreciated backup of this league. Got an average 8.3 yards per attempt in 4 starts last year. JJ is interesting because it was like, you know, about 32% of his fantasy value came in 3 games last season. Very erratic, very inconsistent, an undulated graph, if you will, ups and downs galore. I think his success is entirely tied to one guy in the offensive line, and that's Pouncey. If Pouncey is healthy and opening things up in the middle for him, he's going to have a banner year. He's going to be a surefire RB1, maybe a top 5 guy. But if Pouncey gets hurt with some of the other suspect options they have in the trenches, I think the Dolphins could be in trouble, and I think you're going to see a lot of those erratic performances from Ajayi. So, honestly, guys, I own 0 shares of him right now. Because I'm seeing him creep into the latter portion of round 1. And for me, I think there are better values there, namely Melvin Gordon, despite the offensive line concerns of the Chargers. He played behind a really crappy offensive line last year and was a top 5 running back. And LeSean McCoy is going around that same point as well. And both those guys are going to be volume monsters, and I think in a little bit better offensive environment compared to Miami.
Ajayi, Gordon, let's talk about another dreaded running back, this one making his return to the NFL from our boy Berger's favorite Las Vegas Raiders, Marshawn Lynch. I've been trying to talk a couple of my buddies out of staying away from him because while the Raiders had the most goal line attempts for running backs last year, I've always seen that as a stat that's very variable from year to year for teams. And so I'm wondering, where do you put Marshawn Lynch in this year?
Well, I think he's going to be a back-end RB2. I think he's going to finish in that probably the RB20 to RB22 range, maybe a little bit better. I know people are bullish on him. It's beast mode after all. I mean, he's one of the more entertaining players in the league. But last time we saw him, though, you know, a couple of seasons ago, he was broken. You know, this guy that was beaten down physically, back ailments, you know, some lower body concerns as well. He seems to be healthy right now, having that year off. That 1 year siesta has done wonders in terms of healing. And the offensive line is incredibly robust. And Latavius Murray, who was basically a telephone pole with feet last year, he fell into the end zone a dozen times. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a really good shot for Marshawn to get double-digit touchdowns. So I think he's going to be shy of 1,000 combined yards. And right now, I mean, he's the 15th highest running back off average draft board, so you're paying a top 35 overall pick. I don't know if he's going to return on investment. I will say this, guys. The one guy to look out for in Oakland is Jalen Richard, a player that was number 1 in yards after contact per attempt, number 1 in elusive rating, according to Pro Football Focus, among running backs who played at least 25% of their team snaps. If Lynch is felled by injury, remember he is on the wrong side of 30, I think Richard will be the back to own, not DeAndre Washington there. So if you're looking for a dollar pick in an auction league or a late round staff that could be, you know, diamond in the rough, Look no further than Jalen Richard.
And do you think there's potential risk overall that they spread out the carries all among all three of them, DeAndre Washington, Richard, and Lynch? Because last year, I know he missed some games in Latavius Murray, but they both had over 80 carries. Latavius Murray was under 200.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the formula this season as well. You look at the coaching staff there. Del Rio has not minced words. He has said, look, we're going to try to keep Marshawn just under 200 touches. I don't think he's going to play much of a role in the pass game, you know, maybe 15 to 20 receptions, but I think you're looking at a guy that's probably going to get around 55 to 60% of the opportunity share. So, yes, Richard and Washington are going to be involved, and it's going to be revolving door backfield. The dreaded term in fantasy makes all of us cringe when we hear it, RBBC. I think it's going to be in full effect in Oakland, but the one advantage that Marshawn has, of course, that I think he's locked in as a primary goal line option.
Brett Evans joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Yahoo Noise. Brad, of all the rookie running backs, which one do you like the best? Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette, who?
Oh, Leonard Fournette really greases the loins for me, gentlemen. I'm a big fan of Fournette. I know they lose Brandon Albert, left tackle to injury, actually retirement.
Yeah, he just said, I'm not doing this.
Retirement. Yeah, he's out. And that was a major blow. The offensive line has a lot of question marks to begin with. But still, this entire offense is predicated on one thing and one thing only. Do not let Blake Bortles throw the football. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all that Tom Coughlin wants and Doug Marrone. They want to get the ball to the gut of Fournette early and often. You look at the defensive upgrades they've made, Calais Campbell, along with A.J. Bouye, who's one of the more talented DBs in the league. I mean, I like this defense on paper. Jalen Ramsey, extraordinarily talented. Lee Jackson, of course, in year number two there, Northern Florida. So this is going to be a ball-controlled team. And unless the injury snacks on a lower appendage of Fournette, I don't see how he doesn't get at least 300 total touches. And volume is sexy in fantasy, so I'll take it all day long, Fournette in round two. Though I'm seeing him slip right now in some drafts in the early portion of round three.
Speaking of crappy quarterbacks and how they may hold down a team, I'm wondering how you rate wide receivers who are stuck with a crappy quarterback. And I think the best example right now is, how do you rate DeAndre Hopkins, or looking at the fact, I'm not necessarily a bad one, but an inexperienced quarterback in Houston, or what example you
or sticking in Jacksonville with Allen Robinson. And Blake Bortles?
Yeah, that does play a factor. Really boils down to volume. And obviously DeAndre Hopkins had the volume last year. He's getting around 25% of the target share, but Brock Osweiler would overthrow the Jolly Green Giants from 5 yards out. So, there's some major issues there. Now, I think Deshaun Watson is going to be a breath of fresh air in Houston. I think he's going to win that gig. I know Bill O'Brien is always skittish when it comes to rookies. Very hesitant, likes to bring them along, but I think O'Brien, if you read some of the quotes he's been saying in training camp so far, he is impressed daily with Watson. I think he's coming around and thinking, okay, this kid needs to be our starter week one. I mean, he's cool, he's calm, he's collected in the pocket. We obviously saw that national title game last year with the Clemson Tigers. This guy that could certainly get the job done, and he's a very accurate passer in the short to intermediate field. He was top 15 in all the completion percentage categories last season between 0 and 30 yards at the collegiate level. The deep ball flutters a little bit, but I think he's going to make some mistakes. He's a rookie, but if Watson's in there, I think Hopkins is going to be a back-end wide receiver one. If it's Tom Savage, enjoy the train wreck.
Brett Evans, Brett Evans, we appreciate your time this evening, sir, and we hope to have you on again throughout the NFL season to give us your expertise, fantasy advice. Enjoy your Tequila Thursday, sir.
Yes, and enjoy the awful product that will be on your television.
Yeah, we will do our best, sir. Thank you very much. That's Brad Evans from YahooSports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Yahoo Noise. We did have a couple of texts come in at the very beginning of the segment, towards the end. Al Roker playing poker. Is Carson Kelly the next Royce Clayton? That's actually a pretty good question. Maybe we'll ask Craig Edwards that when we have him on at the other side of the break. And from the 314, you made it sound like he requested a trade. By the way, most people in St. Louis don't know who Kyrie Irving is.
My apologies for making it sound like he requested a trade. I did not mean to put that idea across.
But I would argue vehemently that most people in St. Louis don't know who Kyrie Irving is. The ratings for the NBA Finals are higher than the Stanley Cup Finals ratings in St. Louis every single year. And I argue that with, I'm not saying 314 here is the hockey fan that hates the NBA. But hockey fan that hates the NBA in St. Louis that always talks about how nobody in St. Louis cares about the NBA, then I will. My argument is always, well, how come the NBA Finals ratings are always higher than the Stanley Cup Finals ratings every single year? Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Craig Edwards from VivaAlbertos.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.
Set adrift on memory bliss of you.